You want to hear the dumb thing my brother-in-law said Sunday?
Of course I do.
So we're driving down the road, and we're in a 55-mile-per-hour zone, right? It's just me and him. We stayed back. We had family. It's my family. Well, I guess it's not my family technically yet. Autumn's family likes to do birthday dinners, and the person gets to choose everything. And it was Andy's because Andy's birthday is next Monday. And so she wanted this smoked ham, this big old ham hock. So I smoked it on the grill and all that. And everybody else left so they could get the stuff ready, you know, cooking before we got there. We'd come and we'd eat.
Sure.
So we're driving down the road. He goes, we get stuck behind this car going, you know, slower than usual. And he goes, ah, it's like it's a 55-mile-per-hour zone and they're going 45. Just a 10-second pause for no
reason. Why the pause, though?
I mean, just dead quiet. Just dead quiet for like 5 seconds. Just
do we think that he got distracted?
I don't know. I think he's... Well, I also helped him. He was 50, okay?
Sure.
Or he's about to be 50 this year. He is the finance manager at one of the largest Ford dealerships in Alabama and had never changed a tire. So on the way home, we had a blowout, and he was like, I don't know.
I don't know.
So I went from a nap to having to change a tire in 5 seconds. That's never fun.
That's not a good way to start the day, but I'll tell you
what.
This is a great way to start the podcast.
It is a great way to start the podcast, and we are excited about our guest today. We're going to get into that. But episode 12, Josh, let's do it.
Let's do it, brah.
Hit it.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence.
Oh, man.
Can't change a tire, man.
Change a tire. Yeah, I hope he hears this and he's just, I know how to change a tire. I just never done it.
See, but you don't know, though.
We were talking about, and it's funny that happened because the day before I was talking to Andy and I said, look, before you get a car, which we still got, you know, 5-6 years on that, 7, whatever. Until when you get a car, before you even get a car, you're going to know how to change oil. You're going to know how to change a tire, how to put gas in your car, how to perform routine maintenance, how to change an alternator.
How to check stuff, like that you're going to have to get, you know.
Yeah, stuff I was never taught, you know.
Yeah.
But we're going to get into that a little later here. trust me.
You're like, that trauma stuck with me.
yes. We're excited. Welcome in. It is the Fifth Hour Podcast. My name is David Brock.
And I'm Josh Engel.
My co-host, Josh Engel, over there. We are excited about today's episode. Let me tell you why. Is if you've noticed, we try to do some lighthearted things here. And then every once in a while, we kind of clamp it down and get a little serious.
Yeah,
you know, sure. The past couple of weeks, we've had some great conversations. Dr. Lynn from the Carrollton Library last week. The notorious SCT, Sarah Claudia Tillman.
What a great episode that was.
It was a very good one. To go back and listen if you haven't heard it yet. What an amazing story. But it is, you know, sort of lighthearted.
Yeah.
You know, is an inspiring story from SCT.
A tragedy which she parlayed into inspiration.
Doing way more than I've ever done with my life or will ever do in my life. So, yeah, the whole weekend, I just, every time, like, I would think about the podcast, I'd be like, and I'm sitting on the couch. Let me get up and do something here. So, yeah. But we are having, Josh, you set up today's guest, so I'm going to let you talk about it a little bit.
Yes. So the Carroll County Mental Health Advocates, I've had the opportunity to have them on Community Voice a few times. Had a chance to speak with them, get to know them. In addition to having them on the Community Voice, one of my other clients is partnering with them this year, the Carrollton Fair. That's coming up here pretty soon. They are going to be bestowing a gift upon the Carroll County Mental Health Advocates. Their director, Jody Goodman, is going to be joining us today. She's an absolute treasure. Mm. She's a very decent person, very sweet person, very hardworking person. The mental health advocates go out of their way to serve the mental health needs of the local community, and they do a lot of things. So I'm looking forward to her expanding.
I'm looking forward to talking about it, too, because it's so... Even in 2021, where we have progressed in so many areas, the stigma of asking and reaching out for help is still there.
It's crazy.
Especially among men.
It's crazy, dude.
Because we're supposed to be this... this
strong, silent type.
This whole... Well, we're going to get into this, but this whole... This mentality that that men are supposed to be a rock all the time, and if you show any weakness, then that literally has killed thousands of people through committing suicide and driving them to that, because they're like, I can't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
I can't reach out for help. I'm a man.
Yeah.
And I'm not discounting the women, a woman's mental health either. Mental health is so important.
Yes, but I think, you know, to your point, I do think you're right in that. I would imagine, maybe Jody will have some statistics for us, but I feel like it is more widely accepted
for a woman to therapy.
They're smarter than us anyway, so
yes,
maybe that's
are.
Why.
But we'll be getting into that in the second segment. And in the third segment, we're going to continue our discussion. Maybe we should grab a couch here so we could lay down on it. But, you know, we here on the podcast, one thing you're not going to get is fluff. One thing you're not going to get is us being someone we're not. You know, I can't speak for Josh, but myself, I don't care about keeping things close to me. I'm going to show you who I am.
Yeah.
And
because you're not ashamed of
me. I'm not ashamed. And in the third segment, we're going to be talking about our mental health, the things that we deal with, the things that we battle with, the things that we've overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we want to relate it and show you that there are people, you know, I feel like a lot of times, a lot of people think there's no one else out there that feels and thinks the way I do.
Completely.
But there is.
There is. I mean, we see things. I think that, in this country especially, when Robin Williams passed, I felt like that was a shock to everyone's system.
Because you would look at Robin Williams and say, dude, that's the happiest guy in the world.
He's so happy. And he goes out of his way to make other people happy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll never forget the I'm sure you've heard this story. Some of our listeners may not have. Chris Reeve, the gentleman that played Superman
Shoot
in the 1978.
Some trees. Christopher Reeves.
Christopher Reeve.
That's a lot of them there.
Great guy, you know, amazing actor. But as we know, I think it was in the
90s.
Mid to late 90s. Okay. He, you know, he had a horse riding accident and he was paralyzed from the neck down.
That's crazy. Like Superman.
Yeah.
People
Superman.
Grew up, and when you talk about Superman, Christopher Reeves was so intertwined with that character.
In the zeitgeist, it was, you couldn't separate the two.
Zeitgeist.
Thank you. So, we're circling back to zeitgeist. So,
yeah.
Chris Reeve, so as I am, you know, imagine anyone would be, he was paralyzed from the neck down, and he was coming to terms with it. You know what I mean? So, for, I mean, 3 or 4 months there, he was so depressed. He didn't want to talk to anybody, didn't want to see anybody. He was devastated. And when one day this doctor came in and was speaking in this weird German accent, was running around, like, knocking stuff over. He put on huge gloves, and he said that he was there for his
proctology.
He was a proctologist, and he was there for his prostate exam. And this doctor was freaking out Chris Reeves, and then he pulled the mask off, and it was Robin Williams.
Oh,
he showed up,
dude,
just to make him laugh.
That's funny.
And Chris Reeves like, I probably would have killed myself if it hadn't been for him. And it's like,
you never know.
You never know what someone's going through.
You never know what somebody else is going through. And a lot of times it's easier to just say, well, they're dealing with that, not me.
Yeah, sure.
So we're excited to talk to her this morning. We're excited to get some things off our chest as well. Talking about it is therapeutic.
Yeah,
whether you're
sure.
talking with a friend, a licensed professional, or your dog.
Yeah.
It's cathartic, man.
I mean, honestly, though, my dog, Ziggy, he just, after a while, he's just like, dude, please.
Dude,
stop putting this on, man. I'm like, sorry.
Speaking of people in your family, I learned this week, I've spoken at length several times with Josh about his father. This week, I saw a picture of his father for the first time. Not what I expected.
Oh, yeah.
What I expected. That man looks like he's from the country and he likes it that way.
100%.
What do they call your father?
So the preferred name, which he goes by, and all of North Georgia knows him as. I didn't even know his real name until I was like 8. Everyone calls him Mongo.
I did not know this.
You ready for this?
Yes.
He got that nickname before Blazing Saddles.
Oh, man. Mongo.
Yeah. He when he was a little kid, when he was in sixth grade, he had a beard.
Yeah.
And he had to bring his birth certificate to baseball class, baseball games.
Because baseball class?
To class, yeah. I know so little about sports, I don't even know what a game's called.
We have season tickets here at the at the station, and I am now the distributor of said tickets. Yeah. I could literally put 81 tickets in front of Josh, because that's how much we have.
Yeah.
And he would be like, oh, what's this for the baseball club?
It's the baseball club.
Oh,
yes,
man.
But he's Mongo. He is all of 6'2", probably 350 pounds, and he's just gigantic. Wears overalls.
Big. He does. Dude, the overalls set it off, too.
Yes, and he has worn overalls consistently since the mid-70s.
Mongo, you say. Oh, there's a song called Mongo.
Is there really?
Yeah.
We got the Blazing Saddles soundtrack pulled up here.
That is your dad's music.
This is what plays when he walks to the house, when he's angry. Got Matt Skinner peeking in on us here.
Speaking of Matt Skinner, let's check his Spotify.
What's Matt Skinner listening to?
Ooh. Little Spando Ballet, huh? Little True? There you go.
Da, da, da.
Da, da, da. Ha, ha. I know. Look at
What was the song we played of his last year?
Pasaducci, man.
Oh, yeah. Pasaducci do the left hand
side. What you listening to? Fall Into You, Castro.
Castro.
Speaking of Castro, did you see, sir, that Flydale's brother that had taken, you know, power after him?
Sure.
He stepped down. Now, no Castros in charge of Cuba for the first time since, what, 55
what?
Or something?
Now yeah. Who's in charge?
Me.
Mm-hmm. Get out of town. I saw you in that drab green hat this morning in the cigar.
With the big cigar.
And I just assumed that maybe you joined the National Guard.
We were at Walmart yesterday buying my new phone. And they...
humble brag there.
Yes, humble brag. Dude, it was like $100. I love it, though. But where the electronics are, it leads back into that layaway area. Mm. And there's a huge quilt, I guess, and it's got a picture of Sam Walton on it. Of course, the guy that founded Sam's Club, Walmart.
Sure.
And I'm just staring at it, and I was like, that guy's yelled at some people with a cigar in his mouth before. Like, he just has that look. Like
three-piece suit.
He's it's just like, yeah, he's yelled at some people.
If you're not going to do it, I'll find somebody who will.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's his voice right there. Oh,
that's
man.
That's so funny. I love also how I'm going to like mix all this stuff up in a dream, and I'm going to have a dream about you and Sam Walton running Cuba and Matt Skinner singing Pass the Ducci.
Cuba they still rocking the 1957 Chevys down there.
Bro, I want to roll in one of those. They are still pumping them out. The plants are still putting them out.
Really? For them?
Yeah.
That's my dad's favorite car, man.
My father-in-law's got a 10 out of 10, it's won every car show it's been in, 1957 black Chevrolet.
Speaking of car show,
delicious.
I want to mention this while you just brought it up and I didn't have.
Oh, look at those. They're gorgeous.
Sergeant Rob Holloway with the Carrollton Police Department coming up May 23rd. Let me make sure that that's right. I believe it is May 23rd. They are doing a cruise in and car show benefit for him. Over at the Carroll County Performing Arts Center.
Nice. That's great.
And so when you talked about winning car awards, and I wanted to bring this up, you can go to website or to Facebook, type that in. All the info will come up. I don't have the info in front of me. I'm looking at it. It's on a bulletin board. We had the folks from it in on the show the other day. And what a great – you know, I was talking to her off the air, and I said – a lot of times people put together fundraisers, and it's just, hey, just give us money. And people are like, right. To me, a fundraiser that works well is something attached to the fundraiser that people will also enjoy going to.
Like a car show.
Like a car show or a concert. You know, you ask people for money, they're like,
Yeah, it's a benefit concert, but benefit car show.
If I'm out at the concert, if I'm out at the car show, I'm in a good mood. Yeah. I'm looking at these 1957 Chevys, these 1960 this, 50 this, 40 this.
You're having a great experience.
And so I'm like, oh, man, it's that serotonin that pops in your head. It's marketing magic.
It's smart.
And you got to think, well, that's that. I mean, you're not there to enjoy yourself, David. You're there to raise money. Why not do both?
Why not both?
Why do they have to be mutually exclusive? I don't have to be upset about such a solemn...
It's the cherry on top. You're like, I'm having such a good time at this car show. I was going to go to a car show anyway.
And now
I'm getting to do it and help someone.
Absolutely. Helping one of Carrollton's finest. And something else she said in our talk There's so much talk about Sergeant Rob Holloway, as there should be.
Sure, yeah.
However, there were so many other injured police officers, at least two I know of, in the chase. So we can't forget about them
right.
as well.
Yeah.
Police officer Gordy over, I think Villa Rica is where he was, I think, because Mansoor. Did you see Mansoor's?
What a legend Mansoor is.
Did you see his how he brought him home from the hospital?
No.
Dude, he brought that dude home in a stretch, like Hummer limousine, with like every Villa Rica police like in front of him.
Whoa.
Dude, and people lined the streets. Like, it was so cool, man.
That's amazing.
And the video I saw went by Evans, which made me just want some Evans barbecue.
Hey, hot dogs. Their hot dogs
I've never had their hot dogs.
Okay.
I always say, my problem is I go into a place and I find something that I absolutely just love.
Why do you want to risk getting something else?
Yeah, and so it's a dude. Mine is the, they have a pulled pork sandwich on Texas toast with aged cheddar. You don't even need barbecue sauce for that thing, man.
Oh, my God. I get that. My wife, Julie, she said that she, when we first started dating, we went to a Cracker Barrel and she got a hamburger. She had a bacon cheeseburger. And I was like, what are you doing?
It's the
and
Cracker
she goes,
Barrel.
It's the best bacon cheeseburger that I've ever had.
Mm.
And I tried it and it is top three best bacon cheeseburgers
I've ever
had.
You know who has good burgers? Shane's Rib Shack.
Shane's Rib
Shack.
Dude,
they have this cowboy burger.
Yeah.
It's like cheese, bacon, barbecue sauce, and the little tangly French onion, or the
yeah.
onions.
Little fried tangles.
Dude, and that's how I was just telling our buddy Seth Kane this morning. I've never eaten barbecue at Shane's.
Yeah.
First of all, if I'm eating barbecue, I'm going local.
Yes.
And I'm, to be honest with you, I'm probably driving to Douglasville and going to Hudson's.
Oh, that's good barbecue.
Dude, that's the best barbecue. Don't worry about... If you're asking what the health score is at Hudson's, it is not the place for you, all right? They make the sweet tea with their forearm, all right? It is not the place.
Elbow deep.
That is, I believe, to be an urban legend. I've never seen actually anyone do that before, but that is the urban legend.
Is it really?
That they make the vat of it, and the guy just sticks his arm down in it. And
that's why it's so good.
I wouldn't care. I'd still drink
it's
the full
good.
Out of it. Dude, it's so good. And if I'm feeling frisky, I'm going to go to Wallace's over in Austell.
Oh.
Wallace's taught Hudson.
Wallace's is it's my go-to. Sometimes
you,
I'll just,
so you've been to Wallace's?
Yes. Up on the thing, right? Like, it's like inside, it's really like old. It's
oh,
been
yeah.
around a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, their sandwich is...
Oh, it is a good sandwich. Brunswick stew's pretty solid, too.
I'm so sorry. We were in the midst of talking about the Villa Rica officer brought home, and you mentioned
then we
Evans.
Went to Evans.
And then
we went,
you can tell we haven't eaten today.
I think we were done with that. With part. Now we're talking about barbecue.
Now we're talking
right?
about barbecue.
All right. What's your go-to at the barbecue? Like, when you walk in, what's your go-to? What do you judge a barbecue joint by?
Here's the thing. Well, if I'm going to judge... If I'm going to judge a barbecue place, more often than not, I'm going to just get a pulled pork platter with some potato salad, baked beans, maybe some mouth water and coleslaw. But I'll be honest with you, my favorite thing to get at a barbecue place is any variation of a loaded spud, like
okay.
a potato full of barbecue.
I like that.
Can't beat it.
I like that.
So
I go with. I'm not going to name them, you know, here in town, but there is a place that sells brisket. I love brisket. Me and our good friend Mitch Gray, shout out to you, Mitch. Hope you're doing well, buddy. Can't wait for you to get back. We had a discussion over the air. Well, we weren't on the air. He was doing a basketball game. I was doing the board. And we went back and forth about, oh, well, brisket ain't barbecue. And I was just like, it most certainly is.
It falls under that umbrella.
Yeah. And so there's a place here that on their menu, they state sliced brisket. And it was brought to me chopped. Now, David, that's not a big deal. It is a huge deal.
Totally different meal.
Because once you chop that brisket, like you got like 8 seconds on it before it can go in your mouth. Let's be honest. It just dries out. That's something about brisket.
That's so sad.
So I wanted the slice. I saw sliced and then, of course. And then the only place that did have correct sliced brisket, South of Heaven, sadly, they're not around anymore.
Rest in peace. I miss them. Wait, is this why that barbecue place burned down last week? Because you got angry about the brisket?
What barbecue place burned down?
Planet Smart. Yeah, I
did.
No, I'm just kidding. No one burned down. But nothing burned down. But I could see it because I would be very offended if they brought me some chopped brisket.
So what you got? What you got going on this week, Joshua?
Man, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm just trying to figure out how to get dressed every day. Not because I don't know how to get dressed, although sometimes. No, but it's because I wake up and it's 40 degrees. And
then it's 90 by
the afternoon.
That's what I do in weather every morning. I'm like, listen, friends, It's 78 degrees today, okay?
Yes.
Enjoy it.
Make the most out of it.
Because we're about to take a turn, and once we take that turn, we will be at hell's front door. All right? It's going to be 8,906 degrees out here with that H word, humidity.
Humidity. Welcome to the South. Humidity.
Welcome to the South.
I mean, it's not Florida, but it's Georgia. So that's going down. And I actually say this, but it's been a beautiful week.
It has been a good week, man. I hope everybody out there has enjoyed their week as well. Joshua's dad got a brand new lawnmower. Very excited about
that. So pumped. He got a grasshopper. Got it for half off by a guy that needed to get rid of it.
That had kind of screwed him over.
Yeah, kind of screwed him over before. So I think he made up for it by selling him a $10,000 lawnmower for $4,500.
Yeah, that he can now cut grass in about 8 seconds.
Yeah, we have an acre plot.
Yeah,
and that's a 61-inch base. So yeah,
that'll
he's done in about 45
seconds. That'll get us some done. That'll get it done, man.
Now the Oscars happened.
Yes, the Oscars did happen. We talked about that in the worst. So my movie guy, Scotty Nolan, who is literally a film critic, author of movies, runs a very prominent film website, okay? Yeah, I was have him on the David Rock Morning Show on B92, 6 to 10 every Monday through Friday.
Shout out there.
We're giving away Braves tickets every single day.
What are
from
those?
May 3rd to July 30th. Be there. he's on every Friday, and we discuss these movies and stuff. And I was like, Scotty, I'm going to need you to check out the worst Oscar preview in history. He was like, all right, I'll check it out. Talked to him the other day. He was like, that was by far the worst Oscar preview. Anthony Hopkins defying our choice of Chadwick Boseman.
Figured they were going to give it to Chadwick.
Well, you know, I see a lot of people online being like, he deserves it. I see someone said he deserves a Lifetime Achievement Award. For what?
I mean, look, I really appreciate his performance.
I loved his performance in 42.
Yeah, 21 Bridges.
He wasn't a very good James Brown wasn't that good.
Didn't see it.
I was very disappointed. It was.
He played James Brown?
He did. I believe
he's like
that
6'2".
Was him.
How did he play James Brown? I guess
that doesn't matter, dude.
Yeah, it
does. I got 80-year-olds. Yeah, get on up. He played Chadwick Boseman. Dude, I don't know who could have played James
Look who
Brown.
They put. They put the whitest guy in the world in the movie with him. Dan Aykroyd. Cats a chicken salad sandwich.
Dude.
Somehow that makes sense, right?
he was great on... great in Black Panther. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, Avengers.
But you're talking about Lifetime Achievement Awards. They're giving it to, like, you know, Ozzie Davis.
Yeah.
Like... you know, Sidney Poitier.
Yes.
And places...
People that have had a lifetime to make a legacy.
And don't get me wrong, he was great, and we're going to miss his fantastic talent on
of
the
course.
Screen.
Of course. But, like, let's not... I don't know. I almost feel like it's belittling his legacy give him things he wouldn't have wanted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
if he was still here, he'd have been like, Anthony Hopkins kicked ass in that movie.
Yeah, I hate that he wasn't there. I mean, apparently, I didn't watch it.
Nobody did.
A 60% drop. It was 58, but whatever.
Yeah.
60% drop in viewership, which I don't know why anyone's surprised. We just got out of a pandemic.
Yeah.
Nothing came out.
The last thing I want to see people doing is hanging out in a big group. I'd love to do that.
Yeah, in tuxes. That's great. I can't pay my bills. I appreciate you guys.
Let them eat cake.
What more can be said? There it is. Let them eat cake.
But of course, Nomadland winning everything. They won. Congratulations to Chloe Yao, I think is how you pronounce it.
Oh, yeah. First person of color.
First
right?
person of color. For only second woman
wow.
to win Best Directing.
That's crazy.
Dude, congratulations to her.
What did she direct?
Which Nomadland.
One did she direct? She did direct Nomadland?
Mm-hmm.
They sweeped, yeah.
Dude, Minari, Yoon Young-jun, she is the oldest person to... She was the oldest person to win an Oscar.
I think you called that.
Until
yeah.
later in the evening, Anthony Hopkins won his. So, yeah, she held the record for about 8 seconds.
So, that's so funny, because now Anthony Hopkins is older than her. How many Oscars
Daniel Kaluuya won his for Best Supporting Actor.
How many Oscars has Anthony Hopkins won?
He's won two.
He has won two? One for Silence of the Lambs? Clarice.
You don't need Siri. You don't need Siri.
I got you. You're the pop culture dynamo.
Dave.
I got Dave.
So, yeah, those were the Oscars, and like Joshua said, nobody watched them. 60%. Hey, look at this. Oscars winners thrive on VOD charts, but what's number one?
Bob Odenkirk's Nobody. Dave has been talking about this for a while.
We're watching it. We rented it, and we have a week to watch it. Booyah. We're watching it this weekend.
Congratulations.
I can't wait to watch that. You know what else I can't wait to do?
What?
Is welcome in our guests and talk about something that we desperately need to talk about, and that is mental health.
Yes, we're going to do our part to remove that stigma and get the conversation going, because we're good at conversation.
And then in the third segment, like we talked about a little earlier, we're going to talk about our experiences. We're going to help you maybe open up a little bit. And we'd love to hear from you and your experiences. You can send us an email, thefifthhourpodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Stick around. Our guest coming up right here on The Fifth Hour.
Hi, this is Matt Skinner from the Graddick Sports Weekly podcast. Myself, Billy Lindahl, and Coach Nick White want to welcome Josh Engel and David Brock from the Fifth Hour Show to the Graddick Communications podcast world. We know that it is going to be a huge success for you guys like it has been for us. And if you're into sports, local, or national scene, why don't you come and give us a shot as well? We release one episode a week on our Graddick Sports Facebook page and Twitter page, and you can find us on GraddickCommunications.com. underneath the podcast section, as well as Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Hey, everybody, this is David Brock from the David Brock Morning Show on B92 Country. We want to invite you to join us every Monday through Friday on B92 for the David Brock Morning Show. All the news, info, weather, and whatnot to get you going. Plus, you know we're going to crank those tunes up to get your day started right. You can find us B92, that's 92.1 on your dial. Tune in app by typing in WBTR in the call letters, or B92Country.com, streaming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, wherever you are. Come join us. It's the David Brock Morning Show on B92 Country.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, and the dreams that you dream.
Welcome back in. It is the Fifth Hour Podcast with Dave and Josh. I'm excited to talk to our guest today. You know, this is one of those things, and we talked about it in the first segment, stigma. It's huge stigma around this subject, and especially, not that men's mental health is any more important than women's, but especially amongst men reaching out for help. And so, Josh, you set up our guest this week, so I would like you to bring her in here.
Of course. A pal of mine who I've had the opportunity to interview on Community Voice a few times, the one and only Jody Goodman.
Jody Goodman, hey!
Hello, good morning.
How's everything going?
Really good, very busy as we're gearing up for Mental Health Awareness Month in May.
She's not kidding. Like, she said she's busy. She got here, and she got here a little early, was on the phone the entire time.
Yeah,
she's putting
she
out
was
fire.
Like, I will deal with you idiots.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's what
I mean,
saying.
It was a little bit of that, but yeah.
Sure.
We had
She's
it.
Like she saw us, she was like, they need to calm down for a bit before I come in there.
Well, Lori, we're so excited to have you. We're so excited to talk to you about.
You just said Lori.
Did I say the wrong name?
Jody, yeah.
Jody.
An IE.
Jody, because I wrote Lori
See,
Thomas
edits.
Under it.
This is what we'll edit.
Yes. Jody, we're so excited to welcome you in.
I'm glad to be here. I'm super excited.
Especially when it's not Lori. I'm excited to be Jody today.
Yeah.
Lori is also exceptional and amazing.
I'm leaving it in.
She owes me $20, so leave it in.
I'm leaving it in.
She's amazing.
This is why our podcast is so funny, is that we always leave stuff like
which,
this.
Which I wrote down the correct last name. I was just on the website and wrote down the wrong first name. But Lori on the website, first of all, Jody, where's your picture on the website?
I mean, it's under development, so we're getting there.
There you go. You need a little construction sign there.
We
like
do.
Under development.
We do.
But Lori's picture on here, she's holding a great sign saying break the stigma.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to try to do a little bit today.
I love that. That's what we're here to do.
Is to talk about that. So let's talk about the mission of the Carroll County Mental Health Advocates. Let's start there.
So our mission is to be the missing link for individuals and their families impacted by mental illness and addiction in Carroll County. As simple as that. And I think that pretty much touches everyone in some form or fashion. You have been impacted by addiction or mental illness in some way throughout your lifetime.
Absolutely. So addiction goes into part of the stuff that you guys deal with.
Substance use disorder falls under the umbrella of mental illness.
Really?
As a mental health diagnosis, yes.
Go ahead.
Well, I think this would be a good idea, given the diverse array of things that you and your team do. Can you take us through some of those things? Like, you know, what kind of tasks are you guys doing on a daily basis to combat these issues?
So we have a pretty diverse scope of services, if you will. We're sort of compartmentalized in the things that we do. One of which is we have a diversion program, and there are sort of two parts to that program. One is a mental health pretrial diversion program that we work with state court and city municipal courts for individuals who have been charged with those nuisance crimes that you see, you know, the guy at the gas station that's been criminally trespassed, or, you know, someone that's
like loitering, making a scene, stuff like that.
Yes. Those that have been charged with a crime, that if it weren't for their mental health diagnosis, they probably wouldn't be charged with those crimes, right? So we have worked with the solicitor's office and the DAs in our local municipalities to get those people help. That's our overarching goal, is to get our neighbors in our community the help that they need.
Now, while they are, according to the letter of the law, breaking the law, just like you said, they wouldn't be if it wasn't for this mental health. So just revolving door, putting them in jails, doing nothing to help them.
And it's not the answer,
exactly.
Right? And it's costing us as taxpayers in our local community thousands and thousands of dollars that we're continuing to pay. And nothing is helping that scenario. Nothing is helping the individual. So we have this program that we work with those individuals and the judges and the district attorneys, where if they sign a contract with our organization, and if they complete 12 months of treatment, and that's pretty holistic treatment.
Now, is that drug court? Is that
no.
Okay? All right.
We are different than drug court. Drug court is for felonies.
Okay.
We are these very minor misdemeanor,
gotcha,
petty crimes that are just repeat offenders that just are, gotcha, in and out, that get arrested on Monday, they get out of jail, then they're back in, they get arrested on Tuesday.
Okay.
This is those familiar faces in our community.
Absolutely.
that everyone knows. Law enforcement, first responders are extremely familiar with.
Mm. First name basis.
Yeah. Sure. Yes. And it's very taxing on our judicial system as well. Our county jails, all of the above. So we work with these individuals. We get them into treatment programs. We really wrap services around them. And at the end of the 12 months, if they complete the program, their charges are dismissed.
Awesome.
But most importantly, they have built a support system within the community that has really embraced them, and they have developed some healthy relationships and supportive living skills.
So that will hopefully help curb that, break that cycle.
Correct.
I like what she says about the creating the support system, because no matter how even the most strong of mental, mental health, the person that is, doesn't have these issues, still needs to have that support system.
Well, and our mantra is that people need people.
Yes.
You need people to adult in life. You need a village. You know, everybody needs a village. I have a village. I'm sure you guys have a village to adult.
We do. We're in the woods. strange creatures come out at night to make sure everybody stays there.
And it turns out it's really 2011.
Who would have thought? M. Night Shyamalan jumps up and goes, "What a twist!"
Yes, that too. But seriously, if something goes wrong in our life, we call the people in our support system. And some of us are more blessed than others to have a larger village, larger support system. Some of the clients that we serve don't have anyone. And it's our job, we take that on, to help them build their village of people up, their support system.
Now, how does the, we've been speaking a bit on the stigma. Is that a word? Stigmatization. Is that a word? The stigma surrounding mental health issues. How does that come into play in your work? How do you see that? How does it manifest itself?
According to Google, that is a word.
Oh, great job.
There we go. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's extremely prevalent. You know, we are in the South. People will, in our Southern culture, just pray about it.
Yep, that's it. Amen. We're going to pray on that, all right?
We're going to pray the demons
away. And I am a child of God. I'm a Christian. And I will also tell you to pray about it, but we also have professionals that provide great treatment in addition to prayer.
Whom God blessed with that education.
Absolutely.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that in, and I know this kind of is maybe a far-reaching question, but when it comes to evangelical circles such as you know you're talking about, why do you think it goes even beyond the normal firewall of getting help, is that you're almost taking it out of God's hands if you don't give it to him and go search for help?
I think it just goes back to the stigma surrounding mental health. You know, our brain is our most powerful organ, and, you know, it gets sick just like any other organ in our body. It may not produce enough chemicals or too much, or there may just be a malfunction that no one knows why. And when we have that defect or disorder in our heart, you know, everyone is quick to say, well, you need to go to the doctor. You need to see a specialist. Mm-hmm. You need to do X, Y, and Z. And we talk about that openly. But when someone is diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder, or when they're diagnosed with substance use disorder and they are no longer, you know, they've fallen off the wagon, so to say, and have started using again out of recovery, no one brings those folks a casserole and says, I'm going to put you on the prayer list.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We just don't talk about that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's somebody else's problem. That's Jody
right.
Goodman's problem.
Well, yes. we're going to whisper about that and not.
He's making that choice to do that.
Right.
You know,
he should just get his head out of the clouds, give it to God, and he'll be fine.
Give it to God. Yes.
No, believe it or not, like. He needs medication.
That's why the Carroll County Health Advocates exist.
Yeah. And so we're all about just starting the conversation of actually saying the words addiction, mm-hmm. mental illness, that needs to be a common part of our vocabulary and not a thing that you whisper about someone. You know, ask them, how's treatment going?
That's a good point.
You know, people are really very open to talk about their treatment if they feel comfortable and safe in an environment to talk about it. We need to make that normalized.
And that's right on, because one thing you get here on the podcast, we talked about this in the first segment, is honesty about who we are, what the things we struggle with. I myself have been to inpatient rehab before, and it's not something that, obviously, you don't want to go around being proud of it. It's not something that I wear. I do have to tell this quick story real quick. This guy, at the rehab I went to, they elect a mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that guy is in charge of the patients and stuff, kind of keeping them together. And I was elected my last week. And
you a sash?
Good for you.
Oh, thank you. A guy was very upset because he felt that the election was not a fair election. And I was just like, dude.
Did you rig it?
I did. Because I was surprised. I was so, because I couldn't wait to put mayor of a rehab on my resume. I was like, dude, are you gonna put this on a resume? Like, why are you so upset about not being, you can have it.
like trust me, I didn't ask for
it. It's not like I'm gonna go do a job interview next week and
if it was important to him, it was important to him.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's part of your story though. Mm-hmm. And going back to, you know, sharing your experience,
mm-hmm.
it's your lived experience. Mm-hmm. And it brought you to this journey at this point in your life. And
food was terrible.
Oh man.
But I had fun. I'm not going to lie. Like I know that's crazy to say, but I think part of recovery and part of mental health is turning something that has gotten you into such muck and mire into something that you're excited about.
Yeah.
You know, and talking to her, she seems excited about the work that she does, and that has to filter into patients, to clients, things like that. They get excited.
Absolutely.
Because the only person that can make a choice to change addiction, to change their mental health, is that person. And you can pray for them.
Absolutely.
You can dog them all you want. You can nag them. But the only person is that person. And so if you're excited about it, That gets them excited.
And believing in them.
Yes.
You know, it starts with the motivation and the belief that someone has the ability to make a change for themselves.
You have this in you, you know?
Yes.
And you, as the village, are probably super supportive, 100%. Just genuinely supportive people. And on top of that, have training, which helps, you know, break through to that person.
Yes, and we have an amazing staff and awesome volunteers that
all have pictures on the website except Jody.
I'm going to put the picture up.
You should get us in the picture with you. Just like all three of us just, you know.
Yeah, posing, hugging it out.
Your caption could be, here's Josh and that idiot guy who didn't know my name when he introduced me on the program.
She was just going to say, here are two of our most troubled clients.
Yeah.
And it's just us.
They're going to be playing this interview in the office and Lori's going to be like, I was on a podcast?
You know what? We should probably get them help.
Yeah.
No, and you know, we all have mental health.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. We do. And we have to own that. And sometimes we have good days and we have bad days, but not all of us struggle and have a mental health diagnosis. And I think that's where we have to decipher. The individuals that do have a severe mental illness need professional help.
Absolutely.
And that's the goal. That's what we want to talk about and get the message out to help break that stigma.
You know, I feel, you talked about addiction and stuff like that. I know we keep coming back to that, but it seems to be, you know, that's part of mental health. I feel that this society, as when we talk about mental health, it just seems to be that pills are thrown at it. And maybe I'm wrong. You know, you can give me information on that. I'm sure that you have information on that. It just seems like, oh, you're depressed or you feel this way, here's some Zoloft.
Let's not talk about coping strategies.
Let's not talk about how to do it. Let's just dope you up to the point where you think everything's roses and you're not worried about that anymore, but yet it's still underlying there. Would you agree, disagree there?
That there is tons of different methods that, you know, can be used. And I think that the severity of one's diagnosis totally depends on the treatment. You know, we have some clients that have to have a monthly injection. And they have to have that monthly injection, and that works great for them. There are several different medications.
And I don't want it to be thought that I am disagreeing with the medication.
But I also want to reiterate on the fact that there are several clients that refuse to take medication, and that's their personal choice. Now, unless they're court ordered through an involuntary treatment order, you know, they have that right.
We had a couple people in rehab with us that were court ordered to go.
Right.
Those were a little more.
And those are you know, severe mental health diagnoses.
I had a gentleman that was addicted to bath salts, and I mean, he was gone. Just gone. Like, it's so sad to see, because this dude was a young guy. You know, he was in his early 20s, had his whole life ahead of him, and now his mind's just kind of...
Because those chemicals and those bath salts are just awful chemicals. I mean, you could walk down the cleaning aisle at Walmart and ingest all the cleaning products and have probably the same effect.
Wow.
If the toxic content wasn't enough to alter their consciousness, then... I mean, we've seen time and time again, several drugs can spark psychoses, like schizophrenia can 100%. Become onset after the use of some
100%.
Chemicals.
Right? And then there's the age-old discussion, you know, what comes first, the mental illness or the addiction? Who knows? I don't know. If we knew that, then we would... Sure.
It's like
probably,
an egg, maybe. You know,
right.
It's just the yolk, or what are the addictions, the yolk and the...
Absolutely. But going back to treatment options, you know, there's a variety of things. You know, individual counseling, yoga therapy, just other techniques and tools.
Besides just throwing pills or something you can put in your toolbox. I like that. Toolbox.
Yes. That work for you, because what works for you may not work for the next person.
Agreed.
But you have to figure out what works for you as an individual. And I think that's all part of the growing process of learning about your illness. Just like if you had a thyroid disorder, you know, my daughter is 14 and she has been diagnosed with a thyroid disorder, and she has to take a pill for the rest of her life. But she also has some signs that she has to look for when that medication no longer works for her. It's no different than that. And some of, you know, our clients will have to take medication for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
And they have signs that they have to look for. So it's really no different.
And it's like people can't they can't see that parallel at all. It seems, well, and I could be wrong, but it seems as if they are uninformed, or folks get irritated. Like, they don't like this word, but ignorant. And I don't mean it in like a bad way. Folks are ignorant. I'm ignorant of things I don't understand. But you can't become unignorant about a topic. Is that a word? Without conversation.
Yes.
And if that conversation doesn't start, how is anyone going to figure out, like, oh, you know, it's just like a thyroid. It's just like a computer, you know, getting a virus.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's...
And people, you know, they just... It's not a happy, fuzzy, warm conversation to have when you talk about mental illness and addiction. People want to shut down because someone in my family, you know, might have been an addict, or lived with schizoaffective, or was, you know, had bipolar disorder. And it makes that individual feel uncomfortable. But the more we talk about it, the more that stigma is broken, and it becomes normalized. And I can't preach that enough.
And I think it also goes back to, you know, we talk about stigmas, you know, about this is not living in denial is, you know, especially for men, it is, well, I'm supposed to be a man. I'm supposed to be
tough,
strong, and nothing, no chinks in my armor, no nothing. Nothing hurts me when, for as long as probably men and women have existed on this earth, mental health is a thing.
Sure.
And so I think for centuries, men have had that denial that if I reach out, if I talk to someone, if I express my feelings, then I am I'm weak, I'm less of a man, everybody's going to laugh at me and all that. And I think that has led to a lot of self-harm and suicides that could have been easily prevented. Maybe not easily prevented, but at least somebody could have stepped in and said, hey, maybe let's try this.
You're not broken, dude. Like, it's all right. Like, let's just help you get straightened out.
Everybody deals with this.
Absolutely.
To a different degree.
Some people more than others.
Some people may have mild anxiety when they get in a crowd, and then some folks might have a complete meltdown.
You might have
100%.
A huge fear of abandonment like me. You know,
or you might be a suicidal depressive like me. It's all right. We're just getting these things out.
Maybe y'all really should talk.
Just
like, put a couch over there. Y'all should chat.
And, you know, the more that we openly talk about these things among people that we love and care about, I think it makes them feel more comfortable to open up to us and then, you know, have these very intentional conversations in a safe place with how to go about getting treatment, how to go about taking that first step, who to call, because that's a scary call to make when you're calling to get help.
But wait, what's your favorite Prince song though?
I'm
now the podcast is really up.
There we go.
I'm probably really
basic.
Are
you more of an MJ girl? Michael Jackson?
No,
more so than Prince?
No, Prince. Okay. I probably got to go with Purple Rain, though.
Oh, dude, that's a good song.
I mean, it's an opus. It's great.
A couple weeks ago, we have one of our segments here sometimes called Dubious Debates, and we debate something. We debated the greatest soundtrack of all time.
Oh.
Purple Rain, by far. The greatest soundtrack top to bottom. Oh, my God.
Sounds like someone's got an opinion, so why don't you lay it on us? Because you're really giving us a look.
I'm going to have to think about this.
All right, think about that. Let us know.
About what the best soundtrack is?
Of all time?
Of all time.
Yeah, because and we're not talking about scores. And we're not talking about John Williams with Star Wars, like the theme. We're talking about music.
Yeah.
Soundtrack.
Purple Rain.
Purple Rain's good. Pulp Fiction was up there, too, on our list. Now, our librarian friend.
On your list. I had one.
Yeah, he didn't come prepared. Our librarian friend that came in here from the Neva Lamason Library.
Mr. Brown?
No.
Oh.
Dr. Rachel Lynn.
Rachel Lynn.
Yeah, okay.
She came, before we could even ask her our first question, she was like, you're both wrong, by the way.
You're both wrong.
She came in here with an attitude, and she said that A Knight's Tale was the best one.
Yeah, and then she hit us with a bunch of books.
I think you're confusing attitude with confidence.
There you go.
Yeah, you're right.
Which I went to a different library yesterday, but Josh was adamant about asking her about the Dewey Decimal System and how they still used it. I went to another library and opened the Dewey Decimal
like little drawers.
They still use that?
All of them were empty.
They were empty. It's the end of an era.
Knife so if you're listening, Dr. Rachel Lynn, I want answers.
I want answers.
Yeah.
So it's just a cabinet with empty
drawers. Just a cabinet with empty drawers.
It's full of ghosts.
Yeah. Full of Dewey Decimal's ghosts.
Poor Mr. Dewey.
Awful.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to make sure we ask this before we end up wrapping up. I want to know, what can people do that are, like, in the local community? So, and not just necessarily for the Carroll. Well, of course, what can folks do to support the Carroll County Mental Health Advocates? But furthermore, how can folks just do their part to help support, you know, individuals with mental health issues?
Okay, I would say start the conversation. The conversation.
And I like what she said earlier, being intentional.
Mm.
This is not a subject that we want to dance around, that we want to beat around the
bush.
Just
be direct.
You have to be, when it comes to addiction, comes to mental health, you have to be intentional. Mm-hmm. You have to say, look, this is what I see. This is how I feel about this. We need to have this conversation.
Correct. And you may not have all of the answers, but if you know, we have that feeling in the pit of our stomach when something's not right with someone we love, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all have that. So you just, you know, you have to be intentional and sit down from a loving place. And I think if you explain that, you're coming to them from a place of love and kindness, that you are concerned, starting the conversation. Openly talk about, you know, your lived experiences, your journey, if you have one, in regards to mental illness and your mental health, I think is a good place. Obviously, going back to May as being Mental Health Awareness Month, we have a whole list of activities and events planned for May. If you want to check out our Facebook page, Carroll County Mental Health Advocates. We have a campaign, a community awareness initiative going on that's Shine Green Carroll, hashtag Shine Green Carroll. And we are lighting up Carroll County green, as in shining a light on mental health. It's a initiative that we work with Willowbrook at Tanner on. And all of our partners are putting green lights and ribbons up in support of mental health awareness. So look for that beginning May 1st, and we'll have several community conversations throughout the month of May. As always, we accept financial
It's expensive, the work you guys
donations,
do.
Donations, yes.
Mm-hmm. You're a nonprofit, right?
We are a nonprofit, and we have just recently launched a Carroll County Crisis Response Team that will be responding to mental health calls that are dispatched through Carroll County 911. And
I saw that story a couple months ago when they instituted it, and it recently has started to gain traction, right?
We have. It is a two-person co-responder team that is in a specialized unit, and they respond to those psychiatric calls that come through 911.
Mm-hmm.
And this takes a huge relief off of first responders. There's a law enforcement officer who is also a licensed paramedic on the unit, and then the second co-responder is a licensed clinician. And
that's awesome.
Being able to be dispatched on scene to first, you know, primary goal is to de-escalate that situation on scene, and then to get that individual that's in crisis directly into whatever treatment that they need if it can't be de-escalated on scene. You know, the purpose is to keep everyone safe, calm the situation, and then fast track that person directly into treatment if need be. It's an amazing model.
Mm. Yes.
You know, we're working with projects all over the United States and implementing this model, and we're very proud of it.
As you should be. That is, when I read the story about this, I walked around these halls raving about it. I was just like, it is so good to see that it's not just getting swept under the table, like we talked about in the beginning of this discussion, about these people that have these mental health issues that are just revolving door in these jails, that they're not getting the help. In fact, it's probably making it worse because they're around people that they don't need to be around, things like that. So that's kudos to you guys. Kudos to the area, the law enforcement in the area. Now, at the main heart of what we've been talking about getting help. Let's if we have any listeners out there that are thinking, I need help, I need to talk to someone, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start. What would be a good place and a good thing for them to do?
Obviously, if it is an emergency and a crisis situation, we always want you to call 911. Mm-hmm. We always want to err on the side of caution. So call 911. We have a list of resources on our Facebook page. I'll make sure that those get up today, and I can send you some if you want to attach this to the podcast. Mm-hmm. That are suicide prevention numbers. But our office, that's what we do, is we connect individuals that need services. We serve as the missing link in our community.
There you go.
And we try to make that as a seamless a connection as possible. We try to invert the burden back onto our organization, because we're not that organization that just hands someone a pamphlet and says, here's the numbers, call. We'll call with you. We'll make the appointment, even if it's on a three-way call, to make sure everything's scheduled. We want to make sure that you have the client has everything they need and are prepared. They understand what's going to happen when they go in for an appointment, a session, that they are at ease, as much at ease as they can be. Because it is a big deal if you haven't been into, to a session or treatment before. So call us, at our office. Now, our office doesn't respond to emergency crisis particularly. So, I can't reiterate, call 911 if it's an emergency. But our office number is 770-830-2048. And we'll be glad to help anyone that's in need of services or getting treatment. We're there.
Absolutely.
We want to help.
And it does, if you're listening to us and you're not here in the Carroll County area, there is somebody. If you reach out, you can Google it. We have this information at our fingertips. Reach out, please, friends. It is so important. Mental health is it's where it starts. Your brain is where your body starts, in my opinion. It's your thoughts, your actions all come from there.
And if you think about it, it's literally you.
Yeah.
I mean,
100%,
you.
Yes.
It's up here.
The National Alliance for Mental Illness is a great organization to Google for more information. And during, the age of that we're in with COVID and the pandemic, so many insurance companies and just providers have gone to the telehealth model. And most insurances are offering that for the telehealth for mental health sessions for free. There's no charge for that for most providers. Now, nobody call me and cuss me out about that, but for the most part, and that's been a great tool. I don't think it replaces the one-on-one in-person model of therapy, but it's an option. There's lots of online chat rooms and things like that, but just make sure you're using a reputable source.
You're not going to a gym's back alley therapy or something here.
Yeah.
Tell me your problems.
Yeah, you don't need to know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, before we let you go, Jody, I do want to emphasize this. First of all, many thanks for taking your time out of your busy schedule to be here with us today. The gist of what our conversation is here today, friends, someone cares.
Absolutely.
When you're sitting there, and I've been there, I've been at that rock bottom where you're thinking, it doesn't matter if I live or die. No one cares.
It does matter.
That's right. Someone out there cares, friends. If you're listening to this, first of all, there is hope. There is hope for you to break this addiction. There is hope for you to get well mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, whatever it is.
There is always hope.
There is always hope. Reach out. Someone cares. The people here at the Carroll County Mental Health Advocates, they care. If you're in the area, go to their website at ccmhadvocates.org. You can reach out. She also said their phone number, 770-830-2048, or you can go to their Facebook, but reach out.
And our offices are located on Bradley Street. We're in the same building that houses the Quilt Museum, 306A Bradley Street. So you can stop in.
See some quilts. get some mental help.
Yeah, there you go.
And look, I get it. She may not have a picture on the website, but trust us when we say she is not a angry or scary looking person. She has a big smile and she gives great hugs.
That's right.
Oh, thanks,
Jody.
Guys. Well,
Jody cares and she's here to help you.
Jody, thank you for joining us this morning. We appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, guys. It was so much fun.
Now, stick around into the third segment. Josh and I, like we said, we're being honest. We're going to go into our mental health and the things that we deal with on a daily basis and the things that matter to us.
So go ahead and buckle up.
Oh, it's going
to
be a good one.
We're about to be real.
Good for y'all. I'm so proud.
Hey, you get honesty here on the show. We're not pretending to be somebody we're not.
Amen.
Stick around. It is the Fifth Hour Podcast with Dave and Josh. Someday wish upon a star. Wake up where the clouds are far behind. Be where trouble melts like lemon drops. High above. Hey, everybody, this is David Brock from the David Brock Morning Show on B92 Country. We want to invite you to join us every Monday through Friday on B92 for the David Brock Morning Show. All the news, info, weather, and whatnot to get you going. Plus, we're going to crank those tunes up to get your day started right. You can find us B92, that's 92.1 on your dial. Tune in app by typing in WBTR in the call letters or B92Country.com, streaming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Wherever you are, come join us. It's the David Brock Morning Show on B92 Country.
Hi, this is Matt Skinner from the Graddick Sports Weekly Podcast. Myself, Billy Lindahl, and Coach Nick White want to welcome Josh Engel and David Brock from the Fifth Hour Show to the Graddick Communications Podcast world. We know that it is going to be a huge success for you guys like it has been for us. And if you're into sports, local or national scene, why don't you come and give us a shot as well? We release one episode a week on our Graddick Sports Facebook page and Twitter page, and you can find us on GraddickCommunications.com underneath the podcast section, as well as Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
We'll stop talking about that. We'll stop talking about that.
Welcome back in. It is the Fifth Hour Podcast with Dave and Josh. God, I hope I didn't record any of that.
Oh, man. Please don't. We'll be ruined.
Oh, it's all right. I already said her name wrong. What a putz, man.
That was hilarious.
You literally said her name, Jody Goodman. I even said Jody Goodman.
Sure.
And then for some reason, I have a little piece of paper that I write stuff down that they say, one of the things that our benevolent benefactor, boss man, Steve Graddick, once said to me is in interviews, he said, find something and pounce on it. So what I do is when I'm interviewing somebody, I have a little piece of paper in front of me that I write down things that they say that I want to come back to, things like that. And I definitely wrote Lori Goodman down.
Well, it was the next name on the website.
It was.
Sure.
It was. So shout out to Lori also.
What I loved was the confidence. Yo, Lori's going to love this episode.
Yeah.
We've said her name as much as we've said our own or Jody's. What I love is the confidence. You're like, well, let's get back to talking to Lori. Like, it was so, and I was like, just
I was
like,
just like, all right. And you were like, did you say Lori?
So funny.
What a great guest she was.
Oh, man. So knowledgeable.
Thank you so much to Jody Goodman and the Carroll County Mental Health Advocates. Friends, if you need help, we're going to say this three or four more times before the podcast is over this morning, or this afternoon, this evening, whenever you're listening to it. Get help. Do not think that you are less of a person, that you're weak, that you know what? I'm going to call you weak if you don't reach out.
Yeah, what's wrong with you,
that's,
you silent weirdo?
I would almost,
be honest.
I would say cowardice, because you're not wanting to. No, it's not fun. No, it's not easy. It's not intended to be fun. It's not intended to be easy. It's intended to get you well. And we talk about, when you got a cold, you're going to run out and see that doctor.
Bro, I'm getting DayQuil ASAP. Why, go to that doctor.
Why aren't you doing that for your mind? Why aren't you doing that for your well-being when it comes to mental health? That's where it starts, friends, in the mind. Reach out. Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah, so hopefully what we're about to talk about here will kind of help you, because you listen to us here, and we're famous and celebrities.
Yeah,
and,
we're tough. Nothing can touch us, right?
Yeah, nothing can touch us, but several things does, including mental health. And, we want to be honest here on the show.
Yeah, get the conversation going.
Yeah, we're not someone that's going to come on and give you a bunch of fluff, pomp, and circumstance and say, oh, this is who we are, and then we turn the mics off, and we're completely different.
Yeah.
That's not what we want to do. And so we want to give you honesty. And we deal, Josh and myself, with mental issues every single day.
As what I imagine most people in their own way. But some folks ignore them.
Mm-hmm.
As we mentioned earlier, some folks feel them and acknowledge them but don't know what they are because they're not going to go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. Or God forbid they talk to somebody.
Yeah. That's literally what people go to school to do, is to learn how to help you.
Yeah.
And they look at them like, oh, these quacks. No, they're there to help you. Yes, I'm sure there are some psychiatrists, psychologists, you know, mental health people out there that are in it for nefarious reasons, but overall, the majority of these people, and I would say 98-99% of these people,
yeah,
want to help you.
Of course. And the crazy thing is, like, you know, you made a great point earlier. If you have some other sickness, you're going to get it taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you get it, this taken care of when, yeah, it is the most important? As she said, the brain's an incredible organ. It's the most power. It is us. It houses our consciousness. Mm-hmm. It houses our feelings. And
I like how she brought up addiction as well. You know,
yeah, that I didn't talk, think but, about that.
Well, you know, it's one of those things, as someone that has been to rehab, we'll talk about, I'll get into that. And I'm not proud of what I went to rehab for. While I was there, you know, people would be like, you know, like, you in jail, what you in for? And I'd tell them, and they would be like, I'd be like, what you in for? And they would be like, oh, well, I do all the drugs.
Oh, well, all of them.
All of them.
Each one.
Stuff that hasn't even been named yet.
Crocodile, I got it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Speaking of stuff that hasn't been named yet, you know the whatchamacallit bar?
Yeah.
Hershey's? There's a new one.
What's it called?
It's a who's it? Who's a what? Who's he what's it?
Stop. Now, is that true?
Yes. Let me look it up.
Oh, my God. This is the show, ladies and gentlemen. We go from mental health to candy bars. And I'm so excited to know about this candy bar.
Who's he what's it? The who's he what's
you
it?
Know, I think this is I genuinely think this was inspired by The Office.
Yeah.
Because he says, whether it's a whatchamacallit or a who's he what's it.
Yeah.
He legit, wow, they named
so
this.
So where the whatchamacallit, why did it come up? So the whatchamacallit is chocolatey and peanut butter chips. This is just straight chocolate chips and peanut butter. It sounds really good. I want to try one.
We need to get some.
Yeah, that'll help your mental health. I can tell you that.
Oh, for sure.
Well, let's get into this mental health discussion. You know, we wanted to talk about stuff that we deal with. And Josh, I don't believe that I'm overstepping my bounds here. When you came in to talk about, to record this today, you opened up to me about how this morning you kind of had... breakdown?
I think that's a perfect way. It's like a car breaking down or a computer getting a virus and breaking down.
So let's talk. Let's get into it, man.
So, I mean, you know, a lot of my stuff, like, again, I said earlier, everybody has something, whether they acknowledge it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And look, you can acknowledge it, but I ignored my mental health issues for too long.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who's to blame for that? Me.
Absolutely.
I had people in my life. At some point, you have to take ownership of your health.
Oh, yeah.
And the problem with mental health is because it's stigmatized.
Mm-hmm.
People are afraid to talk about it. So, you know, what am I going to talk to my, you know, strong work 60 hours a week dad about it? You know what I mean? Or am I talk, you know, they don't complain. They're the strong, silent type. So, you know, by breaking the stigma here, I mean, a long time ago, I put it off for years because I was like, that happens to other people, not me. But
not
I was
me.
Having panic attacks without acknowledging they were panic attacks.
Denial's not just a river in Egypt.
Ah, I love that line. I heard someone say that the other day.
Yeah.
That's so funny. You're the only other person I've ever heard say that. That's
really
so neat.
You know where I got that from?
Where?
Originally?
Yeah.
Casper.
Casper? We're talking about the Bill Pullman?
Oh, absolutely. The President Whitmore.
That's my guy.
Yeah.
We will not go quietly into the night.
I'm pilot.
So Independence Day, Prince. There are a few recurring tombstone. There are a few recurring,
yes, recurring things
here. So I struggle with depression. I struggle with anxiety. My depression over the years, oh, and man, the pandemic, bro. Pandemic was like an incubation chamber for depression. And, you know, suicide rates are not slowing down. I'm not the only one that was impacted by this. I mean, you have people that were absolutely cheerful, happy. They came out the other end of the pandemic, and they realized, wow, I'm not as, you know, stable as I thought that I was.
Yes.
So, you know, my anxiety is what first started rearing its ugly head when I worked at a nonprofit. And I put it off and I put it off. And my wife, you know, she was like, look, you got to go see somebody because you can't keep doing this because you're going to have a heart attack. My family have a long history of cardiovascular issues. So I went to the doctor and, you know what's funny is you hold something in.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a pressure cooker. But imagine a pressure cooker. You don't know where it is. You don't hear it. So when I went to the doctor, I started trying to explain what was happening immediately, burst into tears. And I'll be honest with you, I just wasn't much of a crier. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying, oh, I'm tough, I don't cry. My dad cries all the time, and he's the strongest cat I've ever met in my life. He's Mongo. Such a tough guy. Mongo. That's literally, that's his moniker. So, you know, I started talking to the doctor, and I just bawled. And I realized this was the first time I let that pressure off. Mm. The doctor was just like, oh, my God, no. You got to get, you know, it's okay. Like, dude, you got to get a handle on this. Great doctor. Shout out to Dr. Pegg at the primary health care group over here in Carrollton. Mm-hmm. Started talking to him. And you know what, man? I got on some medication. And I saw these panic attacks just start slowly going away. And it's almost like I didn't notice it. But I realized that I wasn't numb, but I realized that I wasn't a raw nerve. And it was around that time, and it has gotten worse and worse. But the depression, depression's a weird thing because I always describe it as it's like a lens that you see the world through. So, you know, people use the expression you see the world through a rose-colored glasses. Well, imagine poop glasses, and everything you look at is just gross and sad and miserable.
With your poop mouth.
With your poop mouth. And I'm looking around, you know, and nothing seems good. Honestly, the worst thing that I see when I'm really struggling with depression is myself.
Mm-hmm.
I hate myself so very much. This morning, actually, this is what Dave was referencing.
I hope you don't mind me bringing that up.
Not at all. Okay. No, I wanted to. And because, you know what? Jody really has really inspired me and inspired us, I feel like, to say, you know, who cares? If you've got a problem with me having mental health issues, then don't talk to me because I just don't need you in my life anyway.
Absolutely.
I got enough friends as it is. So, you know, this morning, I mean, a good friend of mine, I'm very thankful for him. You know, I was actually about to go on air, and a good friend of mine, he stopped by the station and he found me in just a mess, man. I was just bawling like a child. And I don't mean like, oh, I'm crying. I couldn't get words out. Mm. And there's just tears on the desk. There's tears on my shirt. And why am I spiraling out? Oh, you know, it just starts with something small, a little seed, and then that starts growing. And when your lens, the way you perceive the world, your aperture is so clouded by this self-hatred, the self-loathing. Like, I literally think that I'm useless. I think that my wife would be better off if I wasn't around.
She'd be better off if I was around, I can tell you that.
She is a looker, isn't she? Yeah. Man, God, what is she?
I like how you're pouring your heart out to me here. Yeah. And first of all, thank you for that. I love you, bro.
Perfect timing. Tears started welling up, but you made a joke, and it calmed me down. Thank you.
And then I make a joke about taking your wife.
Yeah, you. And you know what? This is how, you want to know how twisted I am? That cheered me up. Somebody, that's hilarious. I love that. I don't know. That's so funny.
Take my wife, please.
No, it's the idea that you think you could. It's so funny. I don't know. No. I love you, Dave. So
no, that is true. Look, Julie is banging. She's hot.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? She loves her some Josh Engle.
I keep her laughing. Like Bill Cosby said, you know.
Maybe not.
Maybe I shouldn't mention Bill Cosby.
Maybe not.
An anonymous comedian from the 80s who had a show in which he wore sweaters said, you know, if you keep them laughing, their eyes are closed after the time. We don't want to cut that out.
But the other half is when you give them a drink.
So, you know, depression is an ongoing thing. And the problem with depression is that I've heard some, you know, a lot more intelligent people than I have say before, depression is a collection of things. It's not one monolithic issue. It is a combination of certain stressors. It's anxiety. And there are just despair. I mean, there are just layers to it. And I will literally, this morning, for example, I don't know, a song came on and it just struck me just right. And I mean, and my buddy that showed up, he had to help, you know, he literally had to help clean me up.
Yeah.
So that before I went on air, I didn't look like a crazy person. This happens often. This isn't like something that happens once a month. You know what I mean? This is something that could potentially happen each week. And I feel bad. So now you get a spiral going. So now I feel bad because I'm not being the kind, bubbly personality I try to be to my coworkers and friends. Some days I can't even talk to people.
Yeah, but that's the mask, though.
That's the mask.
You know, we talked about, I believe it was in our first segment here, talking about Robin Williams.
Yeah.
You're like, how could that dude be depressed?
Yeah.
How could that dude be upset? There's no reason for me to think that he is upset. Well, all you see is, and just like you being, you know how to be on.
Yes.
You had that theater background of actor on stage.
Playing a character.
You're playing a character. You're not being Josh right now. You've got this mask on of what you think everyone expects from you. And not even wants.
Yeah.
Expects. And
yes.
And it's this mental just, I don't, weight that you have to be this person all the time.
It's exhausting.
Or you're not accepted, you're not enjoyed.
What's wrong with this guy?
Yeah.
And then they start, in my mind, which they don't, because like you, for example, I've been honest with you for months now. Mm-hmm. You're one of the first people I've really been honest with, because you are not judgmental, you make me comfortable.
Definitely judging you.
And you, oh, for sure. And you're very open and very willing to chat, and, you know, I don't have to put on a character when I talk to you.
And because I'm of this mentality that good, bad, ugly, whatever it is, yeah. I want to know that I'm talking to the real person, spending time or doing whatever it is I'm doing, not with Josh 3.0, Josh who he thinks he is, Michael Vincent who he thinks he is, Dwayne who he thinks he is.
Yeah.
I want your real good, bad, or ugly.
Yeah.
I want who you are. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to show our true selves.
And see, that's the thing is that, like, for example, I think you and I are very similar in this way. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned you want to see people's true selves. Honestly, imperfections round out a person.
Mm-hmm.
Imperfections are are those little details the painter goes back and adds to a work that makes it iconic.
There's a reason diamonds that are found in mines are more valuable and sought after with all their imperfections than these perfectly created
in a lab. Because they're real.
Yeah.
They're real.
And don't get me wrong, we could get into the whole diamond in mines and blood diamonds.
There's no controversy about diamonds.
Not at all.
But wait, isn't that Leo DiCaprio movie?
Yes. I'm just using that as those are the ones that are sought after because those have character.
They have character.
That's what a diamond is. You can create something perfect. But it's just like I go back to the discussion of, well, what if we all liked the same music? What if we all liked the same movies? What if we all liked the same baseball team? Where's the fun in that?
I could not agree
Where's
more.
The fun in that? Let's you like who you like. Be who you are.
Yep.
That's what I want, good, bad, or ugly.
Completely. And, you know, you mentioned music. I mean, people forget. I mean, like you and I, we're into musicians. You know, we love music. But we also, like, I love Warren Zevon. He's one of my all-time greatest singer-songwriters. Like, I love that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he was incredibly, he struggled. He struggled with addiction. He struggled with depression. Jackson Browne, like, saved his life, you know, got him into rehab. I mean,
kind of looks like Jackson Browne, too. It might be the same person.
Yeah, he might be. I mean, and, you know, people forget. I mean, a lot of the music you see, the movies you watch with Robin Williams. Look, man, turns out mental health is an ongoing thing that society can impact.
Mm-hmm.
The hatred in the news and social media. The fear that comes from, like, something, I don't know, like a pandemic, a worldwide pandemic to kill 500,000 people.
Especially, dude, if you have anxiety to begin with, dude, throw a pandemic on that. Oh, my God.
I'm a different person than I was last year.
Yeah.
And you know what? And that contributes to the self-loathing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, dude, I'm not even me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I'm trying to tell myself it's a different me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? There are people that love me. And I'm not as useless, and I'm not a waste of space. I'm not this and that. But you know what? That's mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
It will tell you. It'll rear your... How can you use your brain to tell yourself that you're worth it when it's the brain that's telling you that you're useless?
Yeah, absolutely. That is a fantastic point. How can you use your thoughts to make it better when all of your thoughts are saying is you're bad, you're
Even
wrong.
Even this is therapeutic, because I've never said that out loud, but it kind of clicks now when you say it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and look, and along with depression comes suicide. And I'll be the first to tell you, I have suicidal thoughts often. Mm-hmm. And it's something I'm currently working through. And if that bothers you, don't talk to me. That's
luckily,
fine.
Luckily, I've never gotten to that point. You know, stuff I deal with. Just a quick backstory. My mother, and I like this because every time I find a new part of the story, it gets worse. Like I found out when I was like 8, I was adopted.
You've been through more than most people. Yeah. I don't think folks realize it.
When I was 8, I found out I was adopted. When I was like 17, I found out that I was abandoned by my birth parents at the hospital. But I had in my mind, I had this picture that they went and laid me in this nice cloth. And they just waited. No. And then I come to find out later when I met my a couple years ago, I met some of my birth family. Come to find out that it was I was taken to the hospital in the rain in a bloody shower curtain that they had ripped from wherever I was born, wrapped me up in said shower curtain, still bloody and all the gook off of me, and laid me on the steps of the hospital for a nurse hopefully to find me, which she did. So I have to give it up. At least they took me to the hospital. But yeah. After that, Mother of the Year, she is not winning.
That's a movie. I mean, that's the kind of thing you see in a movie, mm-hmm. and you're like, wow, that can't possibly really yeah. happen. And it does. And it happened to you.
Yes. But think about this, friends. You know, when you're talking about your kids, things that you do when they are that young, you're like, well, the net will remember it. It will shape them. And that has fostered my absolute, I have a fear of abandonment. And that goes into a couple things. On top of that, I take a detachment. Is I don't attach myself to a relationship because they're going to abandon me. Yeah. And that has caused me to be a serial cheater. Mm-hmm. Now listen, I want to preface all of this with, you still make your own decisions.
Oh, yeah. We take ownership of our actions.
I am not saying that the things I have done because of my fear of abandonment is strictly because of that. I made the decisions as a functional human being to do the things I've done. However, it does go into we make our decisions based on what we know.
And it's the input. What are you putting into it?
And my fear of abandonment has caused me to run away from relationships. Now, looking back, now that I'm with my beautiful fiance and we have this great family, you know, God bless the broken road that led me straight to you or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. But I went through so much pain and caused so much pain because of this mental illness that I was just saying, yeah, I've got it, but I'm not going to deal with it.
And it's like people hear, so there might be someone that hears this and they hear you mention like serial cheating. Yeah, they may have been cheated on.
Mm.
And I understand that. And you just acknowledged it caused pain. But see, here's what I hear. Mm. And I think other people, I hope they hear this too, is that guess what? That is, yeah, you could say serial cheating. You could also use another term, self-sabotage.
Yeah.
Well, who are you sabotaging?
Yourself.
And this is too good. That is painful.
This is too good.
Yeah. I don't deserve this.
They, being a person, a job, whatever it may be, they are going to leave me. So let me do something.
You do it first.
Let me do it first so I can do it. And at least it's on my terms. And I looked for love. I looked for acceptance in the wrong places. Mm-hmm. You know, there were toxic friendships that I've had that lasted decades because I cared so much about being accepted by this person because I thought they were, you know, the coolest guy in school or something, and I got to be accepted by this person and be in this group. And so you can keep me under your thumb. You can treat me like this because I don't want to be abandoned.
Yeah.
You're all I know, man.
Yeah.
You're all I know, girl. You know, and so I don't want to be abandoned, but let me go ahead.
How many solid rocks do you have in your life? You know what I mean? Considering what has happened.
Not only solid rocks, how many quote-unquote solid rocks do we attach ourselves to because we feel that that's the anchor that's going to bring us out of what we're doing?
Yep.
When no one, not a single person on this planet, can make the decision for you to get better or for you to seek help.
Yeah.
Now they can help you. They can push you along. They can give you encouragement. They can kick you in the butt when you need it.
Yep.
But the person that has to make that decision to not make these self-sabotaging decisions to go get help is yourself. And I would look for, my next high. I would look for, I started smoking. I can't believe I'm saying this. I smoked the fake weed.
Spice.
The spice. Yeah. And the first time I did it, I felt like I was going to burst. My heart was going to burst out of my chest. And I was like, ooh, what is this? What is this? What is this? And it got to the point because those chemicals, I allowed those chemicals to change my brain.
Yeah, sure.
That I couldn't sleep. I would wake up and have to do it to go back to sleep.
Oh,
I
wow.
could. I remember when they made it, they did the raids and all that, and they made it illegal.
Yeah. Because it was legal for years.
Yes.
Because people were turning to this synthetic thing because the war on drugs prevented them from having anything else.
And so I remember laying on my floor for 2 days.
Wow.
Going into detox over this just little thing.
Yeah.
And then when I went to rehab, I'd actually been off of it for a week or two. I went more to get my head on straight. And there is such a, you know, we talk about, like she said earlier, we just gonna pray on it. yeah. There is scientific things behind this too, and I learned that. You know, I did go to a religious-based rehab, and of course we did the Jesus time in the morning. But in the afternoon, they scientifically taught us about depression.
Wow.
About what causes addiction, how we can beat addiction. Not just praying on it, and not saying there's
I'm not putting anything down on religion
but
at all.
There is also scientific things to back this up. And so
you got
to
remember, when someone's dealing with mental health, you say you're going to pray for them, they might already be thinking, God hates me. Mm-hmm. Don't pray to that dude. He's the one that gave me all this.
Absolutely. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with doing that, but there's got to be something behind it.
A little meat.
A little action. A little meat. I like that.
Something you can tangibly hold, and they provided you that.
Yeah, and so a lot of, you know, in the past, I have to give a shout out to Autumn. She has helped me come out of this. Like I said, I had to make the decision, but she helped me to start to conquer. Mm-hmm. And I still deal with it from time to time. I still crave that approval. I still crave that attention. Please don't leave me, you know. But I have moved past the fear of abandonment, of just constantly walking around going, if I don't message this person right now, they're not going to know how I feel, and they're going to go away.
Yes.
You know, they're not going to listen to me. I have to do this right now, and I don't want to do this, but if I don't, this person will be unhappy with me.
Oh, wow.
I can't stand up for myself. Because if I do, this person will be mad at me, you know?
Brain at work.
And I'll have to, or I'll lie. Habitual liar. Because I have to look cool. I have to make this sure this person likes what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Regardless if I'm doing it or not, I have to keep up appearances.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, and this manifests in ways, I mean, yeah, little things. Like, you're not a perfectionist. I don't mean it that way.
Mm.
But it's like, you put so much effort and time into your productions, into your show. You want to make sure it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And when you realize like where a lot of that comes from, I think this puts in perspective how diverse and how many dimensions there are to this human experience that we're all going through.
Yep.
For the better or worst, it's very complicated. And I think maybe just remember that next time you talk to someone or you want to flip someone the bird or you want to do something, you got to remember. Everyone's got their own
Everybody's
situation.
Dealing with something.
And I mean, the stuff you're sharing, which first of all, I'm so thankful that you're sharing.
Thank you for sharing too, brother.
I mean,
I love you, man.
I love you too.
We really do have a good time around here. And we genuinely, now, if you listen to our conversation off the air, you would think none of these people like each other. but it is because we are so close. And, you know, we do love each other.
It's a brotherhood.
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to make fun of Josh when he wears a stupid-looking shirt.
Completely.
But when it comes to, and his stupid hair, but when it comes to shaving it on both sides like you 18. But when it comes to actual things, when it comes to, mental health, when it comes to who he is as a person, I care deeply about the people in this building and the people that I come in contact with. And there are people in your life that I know that you care about, and we are running super long on this segment.
It's a good segment.
Yes.
This, by the way, I have never been more proud of anything in the last 26 minutes.
That is,
I mean that. I'm so thankful we had this opportunity.
And, you know, Jody coming by really helped, move this along. So we really appreciate her. But seek help, friends, if you need to. It's not making you any less of a man, a woman, whatever. Just seek help.
You can do it.
You can
do it. And
you
guess what?
You can do it.
You can do it. And when you get to that person that can help you, guess what? They, like you said, man, they want to help you.
They do want
to
help you.
They went to school to help you. And
Absolutely.
Guess what? They're going to help you out, man. You're not alone.
All right, let Prince play us out. We got to get out of here, man.
Yeah, we really got to do. But you know what? I feel lighter and happier, and I'm just glad that we got to have this this time together, man.
That was good, man. Well, this has been The Fifth Hour. My name is David Brock.
And I'm Josh Engel.
And this has been a Graddock Communications podcast. We will see you next week, everybody. Bye-bye. Nobody can hate rules and regulations.